You know how much I love to start a sermon with a quote, right? This one comes from Wilbur Wright, right before he died in 2012. And he said, "I confess that in 1901, I said to my brother Orville that man would not fly for 50 years. Ever since, I have distrusted myself and avoid all predictions." Now, if there was ever some good advice for the church to take, that would be it. It's bad enough when we let the Mayan calendar, although who doesn't love the movie 2012, right? It's bad enough when we let the Mayan calendar or some other fishy sources tell us when the world will end. But we in the church are even more guilty of that crime. How many times have we gone down the path of taking a strange mix of words from the Revelation, add some words from Daniel and Matthew for spice, sprinkle liberally with our latest understanding of history and current events, half-bake it, and then feed like starving people on it? I'm not sure why end-time predictions are so rampant in Christian circles. And just so you don't go home thinking that this is a new fad, or maybe the past 20 or 30 years, the church has been speculating about the end of time since its very beginning over 2,000 years ago. And as I say these words, I realize how harsh they sound, but it's so very Christian of us. I don't know why we insist on doing it over and over again, and it just seems so faddish. Not that we humans don't love a good fad. Pet rocks, anyone have a pet rock? Hula hoop? Personalized face masks, I think that's the newest in fads, right? Just how you like them. Fads, all of those things. What is a fad? A fad says it's an intense but short-lived fashion craze, a temporary fashion notion, manner of conduct, or something like that, especially one followed enthusiastically like a group. All of which brings us to the fads connected to the Bible, especially to passages referring to the return of Christ. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, which Tom just read from, Jesus says, "The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the very Son of Man coming in clouds with power and glory." And then he goes on to say, "Keep your eyes open. When you see these things taking place, you know that he is near." The apocalyptic elements of Scripture, end time stuff. Daniel, Revelation, some of the words of Jesus has been seized on by some in a fad. Now, way back with the Anabaptists in the 1530s, this is for you history people, this little piece. Way back in the 1530s in Germany, the Millerites, or the Anabaptists preached this sort of thing. The Millerites in the 1840s were so convinced it was the end of times then that they took to the mountains by the thousands to wait for Christ's return. In the 1970s, we had the late great Planet Earth by, I can't even think of his name now. Hal Lindsey was the man. The Branch Davidians of 1993, the Left Behind books and movies, Y2K, and this list only scratches the surface of all of those apocalyptic fever that have broken out throughout the church over the millennia. 2011, the end times and the return of Christ caught the attention of the world. A radio preacher named Harold Camping studied the Bible and came to the conclusion that the world would end May 21st, 2011. So after sharing that with his listeners, he used millions of dollars of their donations to put the message on 5,000 billboards, because he estimated that 7 billion people would die in those end times. Well, May 21st came and went, obviously, and Christ didn't return. Well, Camping's followers were astonished and disappointed. Some even denounced him as a false prophet. Well, he just recalculated and said that the date was actually October 21st of 2011. Well, as you've noticed, the world didn't end on that day either, and that fad subsided. Jesus says, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Fads come and go. Nothing really endures. Jesus himself said that absolutely everything will pass away, including heaven and earth. When we do funerals, one of the traditional prayers in the funeral service quotes from Isaiah, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word stands forever. And that's the question for us. What will not disappear and fade? Everything else will come and go except what? The word of God. Jesus says, my words will not pass away. The word of the Lord is our solid foundation in a changing world. So every day we need to keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will return. And our challenge is to stand firm on that foundation. And as we begin our season of Advent today, let's build our lives on something more solid than a fad, more solid than a pet rock. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers words that are foundational for us. Now, Mark doesn't include that, but he tells us Jesus went through Galilee proclaiming the message, and then he skips over three chapters of teaching that appear in the Gospel of Matthew. Mark isn't a big help when it comes to the words of Jesus. That's not what he's about. Matthew records Jesus saying, do not resist an evildoer. Give your cloak. Go the second mile. Give to everyone who begs. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Those words are hard to hear and really hard to follow. Jesus begins all of it by saying, you've heard it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that makes perfect sense, right? After all, we live with the justice system, which generally follows the conventional wisdom that the punishment should fit the crime. It only seems fair to take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But the eternal words of Jesus point to a different reality, because God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. Everyone, evil and good, righteous and unrighteous, is a child of God. And God loves all of his children and provides for them, whether they are saints or sinners. And thanks be to God for that. And our job as Christians is not to follow some fad that lifts some people up and bring others down, but to love other people as God loves them, seeing the image of Christ in people who may look very unchristlike to us. And Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what reward is that? Don't even the tax collectors do the same, right? Everybody loves their mom, saint or sinner. If you only love your friends and family, what have you accomplished? Anyone can do that. Even corrupt tax collectors can do that. But Jesus says, don't resist an evildoer. He's not being soft, but teaching that resistance can lead to nothing but trouble. If you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Give your cloak, Jesus says. Go the second mile. Show your neighbor that you love them so much that you will literally give them the coat off your back. I don't know if I'm ready for that one yet. Demonstrate that you're seeing God so clearly in them that you'll walk the distance with them. That's foundational. Look an oppressive Roman soldier in the eye and see the image of God. Carry his gear so that he will be forced to see you as a person. Make him so uncomfortable that he will have to wrestle his gear out of your hands and take it back. The words of Jesus are foundational. Funny sometimes. love your enemies so much and so strongly that you make them uncomfortable. Give to everyone who begs from you. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. He challenges us to see people in a different light, in the light of his words. And as we walk in that way, we begin to see our neighbors as children of God and as people who carry inside them the image of God. And you know, none of that is easy. Good Lord, I'll be the first one to admit that. Don't go shopping with me. But it's key to following the words that last forever. It's foundational for our life in Christ. Fads will fade. Everything is doomed to disappear. Everything except the words of Christ. When everything else goes out of style, his words remain. Yes, one day the end of times will be here. Maybe tomorrow, maybe a million years from now. As for those times, we don't know. And we don't need to know. But we do need to know this. At the Last Supper, when it was all about to blow up in Jesus' face, and it seemed very much like the end of times for the disciples, he told them this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas, you got to love Thomas, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. All flesh is grass, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but God's word stands forever. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid. We don't know what the future holds. Good Lord, a year ago, would you have said this was our future? I could have thought of a lot of scenarios, but this was absolutely not one of them. We do not know what the future holds, but we sure know who holds the future. Amen.